And now, Hard Facts.
Hard Facts with Dion.
Welcome back. That's the Hard Facts at 91.3 in Nigeria. In Fernhur, in Budhakot, I'm Dio. 8 minutes gone past 4 p.m. and conversation continues. Once again, thanks for staying tuned. And a matter we'll discuss next, going with the version published by The Guardian. Five northern states join FIRS in the VAT dispute against Rivers, Lagos. As all eyes are fixed on the Supreme Court awaiting its verdict on the value-added tax dispute between the federal government and Rivers State, indications emerged yesterday that the Attorney General of the Federation, Abubakar Malami, and the government of Adamawa, Plateau, and Kaduna states will join the Federal Inland Revenue Service in its appeal against the judgment of the Federal High Court in Port Harcourt that empowered Rivers to collect the tax. Now, the High Court had in the judgment ruled against FIRS in the tax collection tussle and ordered that Rivers was the rightful collector on the tax. The FIRS thereafter challenged the judgment at the Court of Appeals, seeking that the High Court's verdict be set aside. However, dependable sources close to the AGF and governors of the three states yesterday confided in The Guardian that they would file a leave of the court to be joined in the suit on Tuesday. Although the AGF is already a defendant in the appeal, the source hinted that the Federal Ministry of Justice under the AGF has opted to be part of the appellant in the matter so as to enable it to argue effectively in support of FIRS. Now, they are going to seek to be joined in the suit as co-appellant against the Federal High Court judgment that favors Rivers. Now, these states understand the possible consequence if the final judgment at the Supreme Court goes against FIRS. They are going to take the fight as if it is theirs. In fact, the motion papers will be ready today, that's today Monday, and will be filed on Tuesday. I can confirm this to you. All right, so what's the implication of this as far as this the VAT war is concerned, really? Well, there's another related matters we're discussing right now. Joining me via phone for this conversation is Barrister Festus Oguche. Barrister, good evening to you. You're welcome to Hard Facts.
Yeah, thank you, Dio. Thank you.
All right, so let's dive right into it then. What is the implication of this move by the Attorney General of the Federation and the states, these northern states? Let's start with the AGF now. The AGF already is a party to this matter, a party to this suit, is a defendant in the matter. What is the implication of the AGF now seeking to be joined in the matter, and how might it affect the outcome of the matter in court?
I think that in the first place, that action ought to have been filed against the Attorney General of the Federation, because the Federal Inland Revenue Service is just an agency of the federal government and is acting for the federal government. And for the purposes of exercising its mandate, it is only respecting or working in tandem with the mandate given to it by the federal government and by the law establishing it. But now that the Attorney General of the Federation is going to join, either as a co-plaintiff or as co-defendant, I am not very sure of the status of where maybe what application they are bringing in. I think it becomes a different kettle of fish altogether. If the AGF joins, then of course we have some plaintiffs there, but then it had the matter had to be prosecuted by the AGF because we cannot have more than one appellant, one counsel, one lawyer representing the appellant, no matter the number. And now that the states want to join, they intend to decide to join, which, of course, is very defendable from the aftermath of the meeting of the Northern Governors Forum some couple of weeks ago, was it last week? I can't remember now. It is very, very clear that we are going to expect a lot of legal fireworks in place regarding the issue of that. But then it's a little somewhat jolting that the states will want to be supportive of the federal government on that issue, because what the River State government did by going to court and getting that judgment is to seek for ways to empower the states, the component structures of the federal of the federation, to have more power, to have more legislative capacity that can carry it along in terms of financing, in terms of budgeting, in terms of execution of projects. I quite understand that a lot of those states, some of those states are very are direct of resources, and maybe sometimes could not be able, may not be able to reach certain targets in terms of revenue. Of course, one of the governors had them implored that please, let us be our brothers' keepers. But it's a matter of law, not just a matter of sentiment. So the Attorney General joining will hide the case, but then recall that the Attorney General had gone to the Supreme Court and invoked Section 232 of the Constitution regarding the regional jurisdiction of the Supreme Court on that issue, which makes the Supreme Court a court of first instance. So I don't know how these litany of litigation is going to address the issue if these things are allowed to be done that way. I think what should have been is not all these joiners, but if anybody is aggrieved by the judgment of the Federal High Court, you seek for leave to appeal. So that when you now file your notice of appeal, at the end of the day, all of them could be consolidated to be heard as one appeal. But if you are joining and you are not a plaintiff in the lower, you are not a claimant in the lower court, you are not the defendant in the lower court, it makes the whole thing clumsy. But well, I leave it to the discretion of the justices of the Court of Appeal, but they have already shown a trend somewhat by joining the Lagos State Government in that action, which I think should have been.
Yeah, I was going to raise that actually, because even as far as the Rivers State Government filing that matter originally, and the Lagos State Government asked to be joined to the matter, and the Lagos State Government's request was granted. So maybe, one might not raise too many eyebrows, since those on the other side are asking to be joined as well. But you also said, just a while ago, that this is actually just simply a matter of law. Now, does it matter that these other states and the AGF are being joined or asking to be joined to the matter? Is that in any way going to affect the outcome? Because if it's simply a case of what the law says on the matter, I mean, can the FIRS prosecute this on its own, as has been the case thus far? And will the AGF and the northern states joining the matter, will that have any impact or effect at all on what the outcomes are?
I think probably they think that maybe the greater the number, the more the solidarity. It's a show of solidarity, but it doesn't affect the law itself. A lot of joiners will come in. They have not talked about those people who are even paying the tax. Because at the end of the day, they have to be part of the consideration, which the court cannot ignore. So it's not just joining in solidarity as if you're having a political rally. And I think that's the attitude, the attitude of the state and, of course, the federal government. The Attorney General of the Federation should have even prosecuted the matter under the banner of the Federal Inland Revenue Service without necessarily joining the Federal Republic of Nigeria as Attorney General in that capacity. And also the states could have just come under that banner also to see how it develops on how it ends at the end of the day. But joining in that manner would be all right, because the parties need to be heard. At least there are those that will be affected directly one way or the other if they are not joined, and the matter, to the extent that the law allows, will not be effectually determined unless they are joined. But then you look at it again from the point of view of their interests. So if they have that quantum of interest that required them to be joined, they could be joined, but then it doesn't change the position of the law, particularly the position of the Constitution regarding the collection of that. That's not there in the Constitution anyway, so maybe they are going to manufacture some laws from nowhere to tell us that that's there. Then, of course, look at it again from the point of view of the interests of the people paying that VAT. No, if everybody's now beginning to join, then of course all of us will go to join them. And the joiner will continue until infinity, until at the end of the day, maybe this court will have nothing to adjudicate on. Bye.
Yeah, but then the courts have to admit all of these joiners, starting from the Lagos State Government. Could the courts have simply declined this request? And because since you say once again, and my concern here is that in any way going to affect the outcome of the matter? And if it's not going to affect or have any impact on what happens eventually, could the courts have simply declined this request of joiners?
No, the court cannot exclude anybody. If the person had brought credible facts showing that it is an interested party, and it is a necessary party, a necessary party. The same Supreme Court had defined it as somebody who at the end will be affected one way or the other by that judgment, by the decision. You cannot exclude them. That will go into invoking their rights so that can perform the Constitution for fair hearing. You won't necessarily join them. Though they join them may not affect at the end of the day the decision of the court, because it's a matter of law, and the number of parties will not sway the law from one direction to the other. It's not alter anything. But you know, the thing with politicians, they are very much obsessed with numbers, if you get my flow, dial. But again, you look at it from the point of view of the fact of the approach the Lagos State government engaged the process of court in bringing an application for joiner, which ordinarily I thought should have been an application for leave to appeal the judgment of the Federal High Court, fire notice of appeal, fire grounds of appeal, or whichever way you want to do. But if you want to come in solidarity of the River State government, you can also join, but the manner of joining will also stimulate a lot of other persons, other groups, other individuals, other states to come and join. But then if that becomes a kind of, how do I put it, a kind of a divided approach by the southern states and the northern states. One state, these other people are saying, they say they are filing their papers tomorrow, that they are going to come in as co-appellant to the Federal Inland Revenue Service. Maybe some of the states in the south will want to come in as co-defendants with correspondent to the River State government and the Lagos State government that are already parties in the suit. And I think the whole essence of it will be lost in these several applications for joinder, because we expect more of those applications to be coming in anyway from the rest of the state.
Now, is this even though you say that these joinders may not in any way impact or affect what the court will determine eventually, as this is simply a matter of law or interpretation of the law, but might it have other effects as well? For example, it had been expected, and I think you and I have discussed this matter a few times, different aspects of it over the last couple of weeks, but even though it might not... based on those cautions, the perception was that this matter will receive accelerated hearing at the courts because of the importance and the seriousness or the nature of the matter. But thus far, it doesn't appear to be going as fast as one might expect. I don't know if you agree with that. But do you think that this joinders as well might impact it in that sense, in that way, and will not allow for a speedy resolution of the matter?
The answer is in your question anyway. You virtually answered the question. But it's simply the manner that the appeal was treated at from the onset by the Federal Inland Revenue Service, because it was filed during vacation and the matter was taken to the vacation court, which is the Court of Appeals sitting in Abuja. And they made it seem as if maybe there's serious urgency in it. I told you, we discussed that, and I told you that I don't see any urgency in that matter, that we should warrant being taken to Abuja in the manner it was done. But now, given that state of urgency, whatever it is, I think what is important, first of all, is that the vacation is over now, and I'm sure the Court of Appeal authorities are considering returning the case to the Port Harcourt Division where it is initiated. They say that the Court of Appeal is one jurisdiction, but we are talking about divisions where the matters were initiated, which is the Port Harcourt Division. I think it should, first of all, come back, when you return, as is normal with all such cases, then it should be looked at. Yeah, but I know very well that these litany of applications for joinder will, of course, delay the proceedings. And if the proceedings are delayed, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, because the issues to be resolved are quite fundamental, and it's not something that you make haste about. You rather make haste slowly on matters, very grave constitutional matters of that nature. Because all the parties are joining as to who will collect, who should not collect, and who should be this and who should be that. But we are not even considering the payers, the people who are making the tax payments. And their interest is even more paramount than all the states who are trying to make claims as to their rights and their powers and capacity to make legislation for the collection of that. You have to look at it from the point of view of the Constitution. If the Constitution is silent about something, will you take it from nowhere and invert it there? And of course, where the Constitution has already stated that these things are there, these are those other categories of that fact. So the issues to be resolved are quite fundamental, very weighty. So it's not something that one should rush about. I think it's one that I would rather use the paradox that we make haste slowly. And apparently the applications for joiner are coming from the different states. Very soon we begin to hear the local governments coming into the joiner as well, at least to be heard. It's also a part of their own domain, and they are interested parties as well, and they must also be heard.
The courts have to wait until everybody who can possibly be joined has submitted their intention to be joined before the matter can progress.
It's not the possibility of joining. It's simply that there's an application. If the application ceases and there's no other person who wants to join, the courts will proceed to as a party to find their breach.
So what I'm asking is, does the courts have to wait until everybody is joined before the matter can progress?
No, because that's exactly what I'm trying to say. That if the matter is adjourned for hearing on a particular day, and the court gets to court and there's no pending application for joiner, it's an indication that there's no other party coming to join. But as long as there are applications for joiner coming from interested parties or press parties who avow themselves as being interested parties who are determined to be heard in that matter by virtue of the fact that they are the ones to be directly affected one way or the other by the decision of the court at the end of the day, if it is given, and who are saying that without them, this matter cannot be effectively prosecuted, and the decision of the court cannot be said to have been total and final because they are not made parties. As long as there are suspended applications, the court must necessarily hear them and join them.
Are you identifying?
It doesn't necessarily mean that all the parties that are supposed to be joined must be joined. No. But the court cannot on its own, if it sees that there's a pattern or a trend that all the states are now moving towards being joined this way or that way. Well, it is a little confusing now because some of the parties are applying to be joined as co-appellants, while others are applying to be joined as co-defendants. But if it's a simple matter of joining that, the court can its own join parties if it wishes. But I know that with the particular trend is going, a lot of tough issues we raised regarding the joined out parties, and you must necessarily join them, particularly if they show that they are interested parties.
You talked about those who pay the VAT, the businesses, as being even more important in this matter, more important than the states who are clamoring for who to receive. My question is, how are they more important? Because, I mean, one way or another, they are going to pay VAT. They already pay the VAT anyway, so why are they critical to this conversation? Because if the courts decide that states should collect the VAT, they simply stop paying to one person and start paying to another person. How is that a complicated matter for them?
The persons that are directly affected more than any other person in the issue of tax are the payers of that tax. The essence of VAT is for structural development, infrastructure for welfare and all this, all those particular people who are paying. And if there's a battle between the component units and the federation over who pays tax, is akin to having two elephants battle. Of course, it's the grass that suffers. So they have bigger paramountcy over the stakeholdership of the payment of tax or non-payment of VAT. Before the courts, and the court must consider them in the first place. Because they could have an issue regarding the payment of tax, being that it is not constitutionally provided, or even provided by any law. But what we see this party is doing in court is first thing that the federal government says, I am the one to collect VAT. I am the one. No, it's not you, it's me. I'm the one. But is there any VAT? It could come from the point of view of the payers. How will you not join them? They definitely will be joined. Maybe in a representative capacity. Maybe in a class capacity. If that is provided expressly in a particular enactment, and it is there for all to see, it's a different kettle of fish altogether. But there's nothing now, unless some of these laws are enacted by a few of the states on that, there's nothing compelling anybody to pay back. as far as the Constitution is concerned. Even the laws of the state does not have the support of the Constitution yet, until the Supreme Court says, well, it has the support of the Constitution. Even the back law of the Federal Republic of Nigeria does not have the support of the Constitution. So we are looking at it from a constitutional point of view, and it is something that is profound, very much more profound than who collects the VAT than who pays the VAT. The person that pays the VAT is the one that on top of the situation, is the one that has a paramount constitution in all of this. And if they bring an application, the court must necessarily join them. So this is the beginning of just of a litany of warfare regarding the tax payments in this country, what the taxes are used for, which will also be part of the constitution of the court. Because if these bad payments are just made and the politicians and people in authority pocket the money and disappear into thin air, would you say it is constitutional? For the constitution as well.
It is Hard Facts, 91.3 Nigeria, Info and Hearing Put Harcourt. Northern States join FIRS in VAT disputes against Rivers Lagos. The Attorney General of the Federation also has been applied to be joined in the matter as well, reportedly. My guest barrister, Festus Oguchi, has joined me on our phone. We go for a break now. We'll return in a moment. The conversation will continue. And you're also welcome to join in via the usual platform. Simply stay with us. Hard Facts will be back in a bit.
And now, Hard Facts.
Welcome back. 27 minutes ago, before 5 o'clock, Hard Facts, Nigeria Info and Herring, but Harcourt, I'm Dan. We've got the news updates coming up to put the hour at 5. But for the moment, Northern States join FIRS in VAT dispute against Rivers Lagos. Find details in the Guardian newspaper. And the AGF, from indications that emerged yesterday, also is seeking to be joined with the Federal Inland Revenue Service in its appeal against the judgment of the Federal High Court in Port Harcourt that empowered Rivers State to collect VAT. Show me via phone, Barrister Festus Oguchi. Barrister Oguchi, you're welcome to the show once again.
Thank you very much, Dale.
Join the conversation right now, if you would. The lines are open, 0817-93-0002, 0817-93-0003, or 0007. We are live on facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH. WhatsApp is on 0809-030-6416. Also, we're live on YouTube. Just search for Nigeria Info PH on YouTube. And I think we'll kick things off via WhatsApp. Living Dart and Barrister, though obviously correct that the bogus joiners in the case may not change the trajectory of the case along maritime law, how about the technicalities of the hearing? Knowing that the AGF has claimed that the status quo ante is in the favour of FIRS, a delay that will arise from every party presenting their position may affect the speedy dispensation of justice. Isn't it possible that the courts could rule a case of sine die adjournment until some possible political infiltration prevails over the judicial decision? Anthony Balogun sent that in. Barrister, your thoughts on that?
The question again, I didn't get too very clear.
He's concerned that the bogus joiners, what he's termed bogus joiners in the case, whilst it may not change the trajectory of the case along merit and law, he thinks that it might affect some technicalities and there might be a possible political infiltration as far as the eventual decision is concerned.
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's any technical implications to the applications coming to be joined. The law cannot be swayed by the number of persons that are in litigation. The law is always very straightforward. But I think the states planning to join just want to have a piece of the action that needs to be registered in solidarity with the federal government on that issue. I will think that some of these joiners are totally unnecessary. necessary because the states coming to join as co-plaintiff with the Federal Inland Revenue Service are not going to make more better, sophisticated submissions than the ones to be made by the Federal Inland Revenue Service and the Attorney General of the Federation. So I think they ought to have subsumed all the plaintiffs, all the bad persons who want to come as co-appellants can subsume all their cases, all their claims, all their interests in that of the Attorney General, because they have one particular interest, undivided interest, and those coming to be joined as defendants can also do that. But the court will not want to exclude a party that comes to it and seeks to be joined in the action on the basis that it is an interested party. The court cannot do that exclusion. The court cannot stop it. They're all parties that are necessary, and they have to be joined, and all the parties that are very affected one way or the other, who applies to be joined by virtue of the fact that they are affected, cannot be kept outside the streets. They necessarily have to be joined so that justice will not only be done, but will also be seen to be done.
On to our Facebook, Clement David goes, our state governors can't use the little one got well, and I still want more. The governors should not collect VAT because they have shown us that they use it for the benefit. They've shown us that they don't use it for the benefit of the people paying the tax. Just a while ago, Barrister, you said the courts may also will consider as well even the purpose for which the VAT is utilized. Now, Ikemi David's argument is that the governors have not shown any responsibility or much responsibility in what they get already. So why should we add more to what they're going to be getting?
On my own part, the federal government has not even shown any responsibility on the ones they are getting. And, the whole thing borders on the extent of those tax payments. And they have to be looked at within the ambit or within the tenets of constitutional considerations on the validity or otherwise of the payment of VAT. If VAT payment is meant for infrastructure, for human capital development, for development, one or the other, and there's nothing to show for it, and it's not there in the Constitution, but it's just assumed to be part of the Constitution because of a residual legislative list that is non-existent. But of course, the part of the Constitution that the court will look deeply into is the whole essence of that. If the aim is defeated, then it is not constitutional. And that is why we are saying that all this litigation will boil down to the issue of the use of VAT, the essence of VAT. If VAT is collected by the state, federal government, and local government, and distributed amongst them, and they are pocketed by politicians, and they will just do as if nothing happened, then of course that VAT cannot be constitutional. That's the point I made earlier.
Once again, the lines are open. Call 0817-93-0002 or 0003 or 0007. Facebook, we're live there on facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH. WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. And via WhatsApp, how has the federal government shown responsibility for what is collected? Could even dial and Chief Oguche, please do all joint parties have an opportunity to individually make court presentations in court, or do they want the hypothetical pronouncements to be binding on them or their interest? Personally, I think they just want to intimidate Rivers and Lagos. That's from Tex.
But that's a very good question. Of course, they will air their views if they are joined at the end of the day. What the court will do is that everybody should file his brief. But then, like I told you, several parties cannot represent the appellant. There must be one single appellant. So at the end of the day, if they join as co-appellants, because that is what they envisage that they are going to do by tomorrow, if they are going to join. And then, of course, they are going to subsume their own interest, their own argument, their own brief in the brief of the Attorney General of the Federation, who is appearing for himself, and also the Federal Inland Revenue Service, except they are going to join as co-defendants, which of course means that their first responsibility is to defend the judgment, which is already on the ground, and then of course they can file their brief against the brief of the Federal Inland Revenue Service that are the appellants, whichever way they want it to be. So all the parties will definitely be heard through their briefs and all that, except the party that is coming from a different angle altogether.
Right. Via back to Facebook, Everest Amadi sent this. Good day, your guest has been making two contradicting statements. In one breath, he says VAT is not in the Constitution. And in another, he says it's the state that has the constitutional power to collect VAT. Please ask him, is VAT incidental or supplementary to income tax? And if it is, don't you know that paragraphs 58 and 68 of the exclusive list empowers the federal government to exclusively legislate on it? Your response?
Yeah, I never made those points he alluded. I never said that. I'm very careful because those are matters that are sub judice. They are the subject matter of the appeal before the Court of Appeal. It's also the subject matter of the matter before the Supreme Court in its original jurisdiction. So you couldn't have been correct to say that I think in one breath that is not under the Constitution and another. No, no. Check in a broadcast. I don't think I'll do that. We ought to be very careful because that's a matter that's already pending before courts of competence and appellate courts. There's an aspect of the one in the Court of Appeal already pending on appeal and the Supreme Court. So we'll be very careful not to delve into the substantive issues on appeal before those courts.
But what is the nature of the law at the moment surrounding VAT in the country? I mean, yes, we have the River State Law that was recently enacted. I think there's something in Lagos as well, possibly maybe one or two other states at the moment as well. But as far before the advent of these laws, the River State Law and similar laws, what exactly was the existing law on VAT before now?
Well, the existing law on VAT emanated from the 1993 federal law on VAT, which was done during the military era, and maybe finally when the democratic system came in, or in 1990 it was put together as part of the laws of the Federation of Nigeria. Then when the constitutional draft instruments were being considered, the drafters of the constitution, or those who sat down to put together the constitution on behalf of the people, supposedly considered that maybe the issue of VAT should not be contained in the constitution. So it is not contained anywhere. You cannot assume a supplementary legislative capacity over any legislative item. You cannot say that it's supplementary to income tax or supplementary to that or that one, because those are specific items that are listed in the legislative list. If you go to the concurrent list, there are certain tax regimes that are also listed. VAT is not anywhere close to it. You cannot just call with an item of tax and put it there and say it can be assumed to be there, or it can be subsumed into this particular item on the list. No, it has to be very specific. So the position of VAT, the law of VAT currently, is that we have a federal law which the Federal High Court in Port Harcourt had set aside, had discountenanced, so to speak, which also instigated the River State government to go and make its own law of VAT. Some other states have followed suit, and that's the position for now. Until that judgment is set aside, that federal law cannot be operative, because it's already dead by virtue of the judgment of that court.
Once again, numbers are 0817-93-0002, 0817-93-0003, or 0817-93-0007. Your thoughts on the matter, welcome right now via WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. Go to facebook.com/ Nigeria Info PH. Barrister, do you envisage that this matter, you said a while ago that you don't understand why the matter was taken to Abuja, and you feel that it wasn't something that required that kind of expeditious treatment. But isn't it so? Because I perceive that there are others who perceive that it's a matter that should be treated with some expeditiously as the subject matter of who collects VAT, and even if it's even legal to collect VAT at all, it's something that's very crucial to businesses, to the economy, to the livelihood of Nigerians, to development of the country or state, as the case may be. And as such, it's a matter that should be determined as quickly as possible.
I don't think the speed requirement in the case is very, very, I don't think it's meant to for the interest of or welfare of the people. I think the speed essentially was meant to see how the matter can be quickly resolved, and maybe the Federal Inland Revenue Service will continue this collection of that, or the River State Government will continue this collection of that. It's not a matter that can be adjudicated spontaneously, so to speak. There's no one that can be done in such hasty manner that you to be done and done with within 2 weeks, a couple of weeks, though. So you see, the parties are now beginning to join, and I'm sure there's yet a lot of other persons and parties, individuals, companies, states, local governments that want to be heard on the matter. It raises a lot of constitutional issues, constitutional questions that need to be determined, and it has to take a lot of brainstorming, a lot of rigorous legal advocacy and fireworks to get some of these things put together by way of brief. Then you have to go back to writing brief. So the speed given to it is not necessary at all. I don't see any urgency in that matter in any manner whatsoever. It's something that requires some profound approach. For instance, I think the United States Supreme Court once had the opportunity of listening to arguments on this issue, some of the states wanted to collect tax and all that, and the Congress refused. And it took quite some time before the issue was resolved. Because you look at it from the point of view of the fact that somebody has raised up and talked about supplementary to items in a legislative list. We have to find out whether there could be supplementary connotations to any of those lists. We have to find out the implications of having something not clearly provided for under the Constitution anywhere. The propriety of the federal government collecting when it is not there in the first place. We have to look at the implications, of course, of if at the end of the day the judgment of the Federal High Court sitting in Port Harcourt now prevails, what will happen to all those ink tax that's been collected by the federal government over the years? We have to also look at it from the point of view of the fact of whether the state can make legislation on that when it is not specifically mentioned anywhere in the Constitution. Or the states have the power to make legislation for any tax regime that they like whatsoever, whether it's in the name of that or in the name of this, simply because it is not in the Constitution. These are deep areas of constitutional interpretation that require some bit of thoroughness. A lot of thoroughness and dedication. It's not something you do overnight and just come and give one kind of judgment that is done here or there.
So are we possibly looking at a matter that's going to last for quite a while in courts, possibly even to next year or even beyond?
It will definitely go beyond because the issues are very weighty, like I told you. The issues are very, very weighty, particularly in this circumstance where the states are bifurcated on these on their standpoints or positions on whether to go for that or not. But I'm a little surprised that the states will be divided along those lines, because the essence of the judgment of the Federal High Court is to empower the states to develop their capacities and to give them that essence of a component unit that can stand on their own. It's not the tradition under a federal system that states should be going to federal government with caps in hand at the end of every month collecting money. States can stand on their own, and even if you don't have the resources or the capacity, now you can develop it in such ways that at the end of the day, it will be to the very best of everybody. So if you make it a federal thing, then of course it may look like as if the federal government, the entire state structure is subsumed into the federal government. I'm not trying to be biased in my analysis anyway, but then I think the battle is for the states to get some shade of autonomy and some shade of independence, within the structure of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, to the extent that they can exist on their own with viable options for their existence.
In analyzing this matter, in our previous conversations, you've expressed the position that even at the moment, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you've expressed the position that even at the moment, River State, for example, should be the one collecting the VAT, because no one has gone to court to challenge the validity of the law that was passed by the River State government or send it to by the governor on the collection of VAT in the state. And that law hasn't been challenged in court yet.
That's exactly the position, and that's my position as well. It's my the law is law. It's the law of the state, and it can exist in law within the framework of the constitution, and it's yet to be set aside. So unless it is done that way, no, everybody's bound to obey that law. Even the Court of Appeal, as it is currently, is bound to recognize the existence of that law, and until it is set aside or it is blindly repealed, that law stands as a law that was obeyed and enforced. So as it is now, the status of the matter is that there's an existing law of the state of VAT, and that law won't be obeyed until it is set aside by the Court of Appeal or the Supreme Court. Yes, you're right from that.
So could businesses who are failing to obey this River State law, could they be sanctioned by government for not paying their VAT to River State at the moment?
Of course they can, except we have an order from the Court of Appeal saying something to the contrary. It can be sanctioned, very, very much sanctioned. But I think it devolves on all the parties and that seems to allow the whatever status quo it is to be maintained. The status quo is the thing that has no facts for now. But then the Rivers State government had gone to the Court of Appeal to apply that somebody be appointed to collect the VAT, finally send the commission of that appeal, which I think is rather awkward, because you cannot indicate the direction of the appeal yet. You don't know whether the Court of Appeal totally say that neither the state government or the state nor the federal government has the power or the power legally speaking to collect that. You don't know the position of the Supreme Court in that way. So I think the status quo to be maintained is that all VAT payments stop for now. You know, and then we watch as the scenario goes until the decisions are made. Then we know the direction of those VAT payments.
I think we're going to have to wrap up the conversation on that note. We'll definitely keep an eye on the situation. And I trust that as the matter evolves, you will oblige subsequent requests for your presence to discuss the matter.
Yes, of course I will. I will definitely. Thank you very much.
Barrister, first of all, Gucci has joined the conversation via phone. Many thanks for your time, Barrister.
Thank you a lot. And we look forward to serious legal fireworks on that issue. Is not something that should create any controversy. It's something that requires interpretation of the Constitution and to know the areas of inadequacies and areas of development that are needed in making a wholesome tax regime for both the country, both the states and the federal governments.
Thank you very much for your time once again. Thank you.